Hi, you're listening to WW Radio Bucky with Larry Duncan, and we have here a famous local poet, John Mackey, and he's been accompanied on the banjo with Neil Hacken. And we're going to have some of John's poems, mostly with a sea theme, I think. So we'll go straight into the first poem, and I'll just let John introduce that for himself. And so here we go.
This is called Listen to the Cold North Sea. First light, a rumor in the sky, night flight, a time of red eye. But here it comes, listen to the cold North Sea. Here comes the sun, the weak but growing winter sun. A watercolor sketch by J.M.W. Turner as a long ship strides all the way to Thorfinn. Listen. Listen. Listen to the cold North Sea. Singing. All the drowned souls, all the Selkie's longing lilts, the cadences of gulls and people of the strands, listen. Listen. Listen to the cold North Sea. Melodies the summer travellers played. Tunes with sliding quarter tones, duende. Listen. Listen. Listen to the cold North Sea. Whale song. Beach bums, the laughter of unheated outdoor pools, the run of salt, the skipper's curse, the fishing's gone. Listen. Listen. Listen to the cold North Sea.
Thanks very much, John. Super stuff. And thanks, Neil, for that as well. So what's your next poem, John? Title and... Do you want to maybe explain a bit about the next one as well?
Yes. Well, the last one was the most recent poem I've written about the sounds of this coast, along which I've lived for 22 years continuously since 1994, but Also, as a child, I grew up on the Murray Firth in Garmouth, at the mouth of the River Spey. This next poem is one of the earliest ones I wrote about the sounds that haunted me as a child. This is called Speymouth Dawn. Between the star-glazed opacity of night and the dazzling drift of a deep blue day, the sea and sun embrace in lover's fluent languor. In not long now the seed will burst on tendrils of gold to flower today. At the mouths of the River Spey, changeful choirs chant. Surf on shingle sliding, interval shifts minutely gliding from harmony to dissonance, somewhere in the key of D. The whole symphonic bay, in constantly impermanent refrain. When the tide comes in like that, persuaded by a Murray Firth dawn, a fisher's daughter as aquiline, as fine as osprey, risen from her sleep of eagles, pauses at her kailyard wall, sings out a strong and clear sustain to a notion of whale song and the triples and trills of tern. See, a small pod of dolphin working in unison, six slick dorsals rising and falling in a closing loop, herding the redfish to a cradling shallow where the surface breaks and then mercurial boils with a panic of salmon leaping to nothing. There's no breaking loose from the leisurely beaks of the bottle-nosed noose. In the river's rush, on a sandbar oasis, a seal pup waits with the stillness of youth for the silver flashing and saline fruit of a returning mother's own salmon pursuit. And on the west bank litter, sand and stone, slow worm and adder bask in the sun. Dragonflies dance their right-angled turns. Broom thickets, flies speckled, haunting yellows. And out in the bay, a bull, seal, bellows.
Super stuff. I think we've had this conversation about painting pictures with words, and I think that's a classic example. And so where are we going to go now, John? Are you
well, we've started in Bucky with the cold North Sea. We've been to Garmouth and Spey Bay with Spey Mouth Dawn. I think we'll probably go to Nairn now.
Sounds good.
As we're working our way towards Inverness, along the Money Firth. I'll just take a quick second to find this. So this was written for... this was written... It's a kind of love poem, really. Watching the beloved run into the surf at Nairn.
Oh, yeah. I know exactly what you mean.
So it's called Surf Dancer. Less tied to, one might try as a guess. A day of precisely choreographed stress in the ring of the Spanish riding school. Still lingering in every perfectly placed and finely turned limb. High-stepping she runs to the surf transformed, as vivid as her morning bed. A tether slipping thoroughbred, her copper mane scooped loose by the wind as a firestorm of rain. Her beauty is blending now with that of the sea, as liquid as love has formed her to be, as fine, familiar, and fluent as the honey-coloured crests, the tumbling torrents of caress, of unbound and surf-seeking sensual memory.
Oh, short and sweet.
Yes.
Yeah, That's really nice stuff. Mind you, I've heard some of your poetry before, and that it's just some of it's amazing. And I believe you've had some luck with being printed, and I think you had a little thing in China recently as well, didn't you?
Well, I've had an amazing year from the publication point of view. I'm approaching 70, and so far this year I've had 12 poems printed online, two poems printed in, published online, 2 poems printed in a rather prestigious quarterly journal. And extraordinarily enough, 2 weeks ago, something I wrote last year being broadcast to a literary festival in Beijing.
Yeah.
It's just a hoot, really. Extraordinary stuff.
Worldwide stuff.
Yeah. I don't tout for any of it. It just seems to happen. It's extraordinary, really. I think it's because of the sound of the sea. I think people hear that, and they're kind of hooked, really.
Yeah, of course, that's one of the things about water and sea is that people want to live by it.
Yes.
Particularly in America and Canada, there's a big thing about that. Yeah. So, what have you got for us next?
We're going to head back now towards Macduff.
All right, okay.
We're going to go to the Tarlow swimming pool, which I'm happy to say is slowly being restored. From its awful decline. The Friends of Tarlow have done a wonderful job in getting it listed as a historic building and then putting pressure on Aberdeenshire Council to begin the business of restoring it. About blooming time, really. So this one was written there in 1994. It's called Stories from Home. And if you listen very carefully, you ought to be able to hear the sea breaking at Tarlair. And I think Neil's going to improvise to this.
Uh-huh.
Living close to Tarlair as he does. This is called Stories from Home. This is somebody talking about their childhood on the Murray Firth. To a partner or a friend somewhere in some huge metropolitan sprawl, London, New York, Paris, Rome, somewhere like that. In your stories from home, there are ice and flurries of snow soon dispersed. As your narrative moves from a place to its people, and the warmth in your voice echoes the sense that cold is contingent to be banished by touch. To this city of grace and greed, you bring distance with all you recall, the biting wind and the sea haw, and the mimicking mew of the gull. In your stories from home, there is fire, where meaning is fixed by a flickering glance, as the narrative moves from recall to the present, and the flame in your eye echoes the sense that the past is driftwood, to be reshaped by tongues. To this city of glass and wood smoke, you bring distance with all you recall, the biting wind and the sea haw, and the mimicking mew of the gull. In your stories from home there is granite. Resolution is hewn from the word, as a narrative grows from content to context, and the stone in your telling breaks on the sense that strength is not given, but carved out from the bone. To this city of jewel fires and mud, you bring distance with all you recall, the lowering sky and the sea stack, and the mimicking mew of the gull. In this city of grace and greed, of violent imprecations and hymns, where all the staring angels come through, and rages and supplications freeze in the conjugal currents of need, I thaw by elemental fires anew at the confluence of limbs and the long slow curve of your beauty. The indelible persuasions, your womanhood shows.
So we're about two-thirds through our first session of poetry here, and with John Mackey and Neil Hacken. And so we'll just continue onwards with this lovely sea theme, and I'm sure it's taken our listeners to a little place by the seashore with all that's going on, which is where we are, of course. Well, I've got sand on my bums as well, I think. So, what about where are we going to go next? This is a fascinating trip down the coastline here.
Well, we're going to go to two places now.
Oh, right.
We're going to go to where the river meets the sea. This is a story of two places, but it's also the story of two lives. It's about my mum and dad.
All right.
My dad was from Garmouth, at the mouth of the Spey. And my mother was from the islands, from Rasay. And they came together during the war, like lots of northeast Scottish couples did. And then they made a life together here on the Murray Firth. So it's about them. It's called Where the River Meets the Sea. And it begins as Garmouth, part one Garmouth, which is the old name for Garmouth. join us as you wish.
Neil Hankin is an amazing banjo player. He's willing to do almost anything. So where the river meets the sea, the first part is my mother's story, Farmach. She or he who hunts for forebears through the archive at Elgin knows that the past is never sepia, except as a result of technical naivety in the mechanism of memory or the chemistry of light. In my father's mind, there was but black and white. This is, of course, my father's story, this first bit, Garmach, but my father's story. Look, that woman who with her empty creel waits in weeds on the Bucky Fish Quay for a spume-broken glimpse through a heaving sea of a garnering ship that long since sits, flanks and planks agape asunder on the tumbled rocks of Elgol, below the headless crafts that died alone when the people driven went from the land agent's fire and the landlord's rent. Not yet spent is the taste of the flesh of seabirds' eggs, that sea rack taste that he learnt to endure, of bird-rendered power plucked from the jaws of the searing white sky, gathered in clutches from the teeming shore of Tile Island's crouch, low on the Spey. At Tugnet, perched on the jaws of the river, prowling again, ready to bite its own forcing channels through the huddle of Kingston, the fishing museum is a snapshot too. The salmon and idol rendered in plaster, the faces of fishes close to the bone, positions frozen in the rhythm of effort. In this designated area of outstanding natural beauty, my father aloud remembered, who never came home, from the tumult of waters that closed in on their eyes as the ravenous dragnetting flow took its dues amongst the fishes of Garmach. And his brother, my uncle, loudly contemptuous of change, the Shire engineers had sought to enforce by blasting a mouth to bite on the frenzy that sent cottages scattering as the waters arose, with the might of far mountains as their drift snows unfroze, emissaries of granite, the first floods took back a mile's width of plain from the scratchings of men. How long was his love for that river, in its unbound abandon and the headlong salmon soaring high from its spate, and how broad his contempt for the efforts of those who tried to impose the violence of order on its deep, dark flow. To the Clachan. From the braes close by Sconser you can glimpse it across, the reflections of mountains broken by Orca, the hamlet of Clachan on MacLean's Rathaser, strung out like pebbles randomly there, see? A small white house on the lip of the sea, backed by a clifton that hoods it in lee, where a limpeting aunt clinging on, gallinaceous in both aspect and voice, celebrated her centenary as a consequence of choice. In exile in Murray the places remain, vivid incarnations of the spirit of place, arduous, oscheich, swishnish, rathaser, that sorely invakes on every page of a landscape that lives in every soul that grew by its rochans, heron-speared, bold, or foraged for cockles in the old harbour's bowl. Though the sound in its violence roars impossible to broach, and the breath of the Arctic icy and frantic colludes with winter's reproach, the enduring sensations are wide, blue and clear, and the shadows of woodlands harbouring deer. She speaks the names like a liturgy of peace, and peoples her memory with strong, honest kin, women whose work was all of a piece in hewing and setting the cornerstones of weathering, and dark-bearded men whose gathering guile kept the pot in every cottage croft, filled with a herring, mackerel, cod, and the laird's lost yearlings, mutton and venison taken by night, the fish by day, on the sound's glacial light. 3. Garmach. Where the river meets the sea they returned, to tend the plot they took back by hand from rank and gross neglect, and each for all the generations of us makes vivid the times before their currents intertwined, mingled breath and gave voice to my brothers and lately to mine. Like the Arctic terns of the Spey and the sea-cleaving otters of Clachan, neat on Rossi's shore, the exiles I've taken were my father's search for more meaning enough, or my own running from unease of place, or the ambiguous myths I made to beguile and to make it easier to seem than to be, have circled me back, day by year's long day, to where I sit to breathe a while on the rocks of Arjush, or by the Spey's swollen race, where both tattoos, tooth and claw, and Sawley's gentle geomancy are. The black and white images from my family's albums teem in my stillness like circling turns.
Oh, super stuff. So that was Garmath, and what was the second one, Jonathan?
Rossi, Clachan on the island of Rossi.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Which is where my mother's family comes from. My mother's a MacLean, and Sawley MacLean, the great Gaelic poet, was a cousin of hers. So that's where she's from, Rossi.
Okay. That's fine. I think we've got time for one more poem, and that's okay.
Okay, so I think we'll go slightly further afield now.
Oh, right, where are we going now?
We'll start with the Murray Coast Beach, but then we're going to go to Japan.
Oh, right.
And we're going to go to Turkey, and we're going to go to Morocco. And then back to Banff.
Oh, super, okay.
This is called Pearl Diving. The woman is sleeping now as a girl could, curled like a leaf in an autumnal wood. Her breathing as deep as the rhythms that sweep and gently beat on the stone's throw beach. The sea in its slumber within easy dreams reach. Olives and Rioja set to one side, smiling sated with a full-filled sigh. She settles position in our love-strewn bed. My lamplight shadows a delicate thread in the skein of her weaving of the seen and the said. Off Japan, the armor are diving for pearls. Lung-bursting plunges to grace the neck of this girl. In the rubble of sea day where fishes once filed, we brush Roman dust from dolphin tiles as a little owl haunts sea day's marble piles. There is snow on the Atlas. The passes are closed, our grand taxi snakes on the Marrakesh road, past head-high drifts and wind-whipped ridges, gem sellers and jellibas at the red melt's edges, ice-blue bark and scalp the parapets of bridges. She stands on a rock in the spume-heaving bay, up to her thighs in the surf's pounding play. She phones on her mobile so I can hear her pleasure, her shock, sensations as clear as a pearl gleam in our bed at the turn of the year.
Well, there we go. We've travelled around a bit. And I hope you listeners have got some great memories out of that and some gone to some interesting places. Visually with the poetry of John Mackey and accompanied by Neil Hacken, and my thanks to John and Neil for coming and to do this for me. And So this is Larry Duncan signing off on this PT session, and hope to listen to us again on another session later on. And cheers to some.